Hey, Peter Howard here on the Dynasty Crossroads Show. Don't let them know. Keep it quiet, but I've infiltrated the nerd base. Come check out the show. I'll tell you how to beat them. Thanks.
Yeah.
Chicken a crow. Crossing the... Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Rustin' Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Dynasty Coach A, and I absolutely have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. This is clearly not the usual opening to the show, but I want to, before we get started, talk a little bit about, you know, Damar Hamlin and everything that happened with the Buffalo Bills and the Bengals game and everything. And of course, eventually we're going to talk about the fantasy football ramifications of this, but first and foremost, like, this is a human being issue. Like, this is health. This is everything. And I want to first, I mean, I'm not the praying kind of man, but if anyone out there is prayers, thoughts, positive vibes, good juju, whatever the heck you believe in, throw it towards Buffalo, you know, anything, please just get better. But I do want to say real quick that, I mean, I know I talked about it a little bit on Twitter, and we recorded the DLF trade show this afternoon, and I brought it up on those other two places where it feels weird to be creating content about fantasy football right now. Like, it really, really does. Like, the level of energy is absolutely not going to be there, and not just because I'm kind of sick, but the important thing is I am doing this because this is how I cope. My coping mechanism is to put my head down and go on with the routine of my day, because I am an internalizer. I am a dweller. I'm a wallower, and you call it what you will, that if I don't keep going and doing what I'm doing, I'm going to sit there and just fall down an endless pit of bad, bad, bad things. So again, while it does feel weird to do this, this is what I'm doing. This is what I have to do. And the reason I bring that up is not to defend what I, you know, us recording in any way, shape, or form. It's just to say, cope, do something. It doesn't matter that we didn't know this man personally. This affects all of us in ways we, like, maybe this isn't something you've ever really felt before, but the important thing is to do something, is to cope, is to deal with it somehow. Because if you just sort of push this away, if you just move on and act like it's nothing, that's not good for your mental health. And that is insanely important mental health for all of us out there. So, I mean, if you, any reason whatsoever, if you need someone to talk to, someone to yell to, someone to anything at Dynasty Outhouse, reach out to me, please. And no matter what your coping mechanism is, as long as it's not harmful to you or anyone else, please just go for it. Just do something and be well, be kind, be positive in any way, shape, or form. And I guess before we move on to the silliness that is actual fantasy football, I mean, Rocky, and I'm calling you John. I'm not calling you Coach A at this point. So if either of you two have anything to add, please go for it.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think you said a lot of it pretty well, Russ, by the way a lot of us are feeling. I actually wasn't even watching the game. I was driving around in my car at that point, and even then it was kind of terrifying just to hear them describing it on the radio. And I'm with you. I just was kind of freaked out, especially last night. I know I've watched games too where usually more of a concussion type thing where I've been very scared for what's happening to a guy. And I've always been worried something horrible like this could happen on the field. You try to push it away most weeks when things like this aren't happening, but it's coming down on us full force right here. So I think you said it well. The only thing I wanted to add is, and I'm not saying you need to do this, especially if it's a big payout or things like that. Now, you shouldn't have to sacrifice your money, but I know in a couple different leagues, especially they're actually third place games, which is basically like a buy-in, and we're two different leagues I'm in. We both agreed the third place teams playing in that game to donate to the Hamlin toy drive. So I think that's a great idea if you want to do that. Again, especially, I know some people are playing in leagues where they're winning $400. You don't want to necessarily, maybe you don't want to donate for it. Maybe you need $400, but if you want to donate 50 of it or something like that, I just think I love to see everything. You just got seen on Twitter, like it's up to like 300,000, 400,000 of the toy drive and all that stuff that he's doing. So just wanted to throw that out there as well.
It's actually $5 million.
Yeah.
I think it was $4 last I saw it. So that's amazing that it's up to $5 million.
Yeah, it's over $5 million. So obviously, terrible tragedy, insane to watch. You know, like I was telling these guys before, my mouth was just agape and I couldn't believe what was going on. But at least some good has come from it. You know, like I try to always look on the bright side. And then going back to what Russ was saying, you know, it might feel weird, and it does feel weird to pot about football, but I think it also makes you think about like what's important to me, what's, you know, like what do I love and that kind of thing. And we love talking about football, fantasy football, all that kind of stuff. And so here we are doing, you know, what we love. And I think that that's important as well. And obviously, you know, we're hoping and praying and all that kind of stuff that he's going to be fine. But, you know, I think that's all I really needed to say about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Perspective is a very important word at this point. But I guess at this point, even though transition is literally impossible from this to where we're going, I mean, we're going to move on to talking about fantasy football. So welcome to session 245 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAB Network, if you will. And it felt weird not doing this last week. So yes, I will this week.
I think you were somewhere in France doing that, you know,
yeah, Monday night. Yeah, in my sleep, because it's hours ahead and I was asleep. if you can hear, I was in France last week and, you know, you go sightseeing and then we went to Disneyland Paris and it rained all 5 days. So this is the result of being outside in rain for 5 days. My kids are absolutely fine, by the way. You know, went back to school. They're jumping, skipping, and whatever kids do at school. I don't remember anymore. It's been so long. But my wife and I are both just like messes. But okay, here we go. I have no idea what the hell to do. Like at this point, there's no, I'm not going to bother talking about injuries if there even were any. I honestly just didn't watch much. I watched the first half of the early games, and then I'm like, I can feel the anxiety getting ready to kick in, worrying about my scores. I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to find something else to do. I can't do this now. So, you know, I don't even really know if anyone was injured. But again, at this point, it's non-point scoring season for the most part. But you know what? Excuse me. See, right there, I'm like pubescent boying over here. Let's just go right to one of our listener questions at FF Tommy B. I think we can all agree the health and safety of players is infinitely more important, but how are you approaching the championship situation? And the annoying part is it's not just a championship situation. There's third place games like Rocky pointed out. And if you have the toilet bowl with some sort of prize at the end, I mean, that all draft order, it all comes into play. I'm going to say what I did for all the God knows how many leagues I run at this point. Hold on, let me pull up Discord so I can like read out what I posted in there. here's my thinking. If the remaining fantasy, okay, actually stop. My thought process this morning was, I'm just going to do whatever the NFL and MFL, because that's where all my leagues are, on myfantasyleague.com, whatever they say to do. NFL came out and said that as of now, it's just kaput. You know, they don't know how or when they will reschedule it anyway. So as of right now, it's just indefinitely delayed. And MFL struck whatever was scored so far off of their pages. It says, I think, undefined or something like that, you know, on their pages. So after that happened, I stopped and I thought, and all right, so here's what I wrote down. Here's my thinking. If the remaining fantasy games were already decided before Monday night's game, I will go through and declare winners. If you are in one of these games where even though it wasn't technically decided, but you clearly were going to lose, I will leave it to you to concede the game. And I am injecting here at this point, you are going to hear me complain about this a lot over the next few years. I made 6 championship games. 3 of them were Trade Addicts Leagues. 3 of them were not Trade Addicts Leagues. I lost all 3 Trade Addicts Leagues. And I might win all 3 of the other ones. Like, one of them couldn't be a Trade Addicts League. I mean, come on. All right. So, yeah, I will unfortunately be doing this for my 3 championship games. If no one wants to concede, we will hold out and wait to see if the NFL reschedules the game. If they do not, we will deal with it when that happens. But at least this way we can have a few games decided, get some more draft slots set, and send out some prizes. If the 2 people decide to split the pot or donate the pot or whatever, then co-champs or co-third places will be named, and we will use a randomizer to select the draft slots. I mean, I posted this only like maybe 25 minutes ago, and I said, this sounds fair to me, but please let me know if you have any concerns. I have a bunch of thumbs up emojis, and no one has complained yet. So this is pretty much the best I could really think of, because at first you're just like, okay, how do you declare a winner? Oh, they're willing to split the fine. That's great. Oh, yeah, crap. Draft picks. Like, you know, there's more to it than that. So, and honestly, I couldn't think of a better way. You can't really, like, I don't think you weight this at all. Like, it was 147 to 145. This person gets 147 names in the hat. This person gets one. Like, we're not going to do that. That's ridiculous. So, honestly, just 2 names in a hat, pick one out, 50-50 shot. I think that's honestly the best way I could think of it. Rocky, I know you run a league or 2. John, I know you run at least 1 league because we rivalried Harry Potter leagues at one point. So between the 2 of you, do you have any ideas on how to go forward with the situation right now?
The way I'm doing it in, excuse me, I run about 8 in my leagues. I went through, there were a number of them where you could declare a winner. I don't think any of them were technically over, but like there were examples like, we have a Junkies listener league, a second listener league, and someone was up by 45 and the other guy had Gabe Davis. So I mean, I went to the managers involved, and technically I guess that's possible, but it's actually the now loser is Justin Mercer, who had Gabe Davis, a friend of the show, and he was willing to concede it, and that's kind of how I'm doing it. I'm like, unless you object, and I think given the situation so far, no one's objected in any of these situations where it was like, yeah, you're not going to win that. Like, I had another one that was very easy where the guy at Dawson knocks down like 90. So in those kind of situations, I'm just declaring a winner.
That's a crappy way to finish the season.
Yes, it was like, well, the other team went nuts. It was like 230 to 140 or something like that.
That's rough.
So in those situations, I just declared a winner. No one objected. I did throw it out there. You know, if you have a problem with it, let me know, and we'll work it out. But and then in any there were any kind of sort of gray areas, which I think I had like 3 of those. I did the split the pot thing. We just said co-champs. And I mean, even, and I had one I commish where I was in the title game. I had Steph Diggs down 8. He had nobody, and I was willing to just split the pot. He was cool with that. I that's a game I probably win if they play the whole game, but I want to do what's best for the league anyway. So just get it done with. I don't think they're going to reschedule the game, so I'm trying to get everything, you know, everybody to agree we're splitting or this person's winning and all that, and get the payouts done as soon as possible. With Drafter, I just want to chime in too. And Drafter, what I'm doing though is, regardless of what they decided to do with the pot and all that, I'm giving it to the higher seed gets the 112 is what I'm doing. Like, if you were the one seed and you were playing the five seed.
Fair enough, I guess.
Yeah. So even if it's if I declared a winner, then that person, even if they're the lower seed, is playing the 112. But if it's those gray ones, I'm giving, like, the one seed or the two seed, the 112 over, like, the five seed. So fair that's enough. Basically how I did it. Yep.
I honestly didn't do too much different than what you guys were talking about. My big thing was I wanted to be proactive about it. So, like, even before they canceled the game and all that, I started reaching out to any of the players that were in the championships that were going to be contested, you know, that weren't 100% done already and that kind of thing. And so I just wanted to be proactive about it. And I put out there, like, hey, why don't you two come to an agreement? And, you know, if the game gets played, obviously we'll just play it out and everything will be fine. If the game doesn't get played, at least you have an agreement in place. And I only commish six leagues. So, like, I didn't have too many that I had to freak out about. And everyone was pretty good about it. I have one league that I commish where I'm technically winning, but I'm projected to lose by like 15 or something like that. He probably would have won and everything. And so, you know, I told him that, you know, that I was willing to, you know, I was willing to concede and do all that kind of stuff, you know, but maybe we like split the pot. It's a very small one, but I'm like, technically I won, but I don't feel right winning like that. So, you know, I'm like, I'll go ahead and concede and do all that. And then in another one, this one hurt, but my point was, I want people to, you know, once again, think about what happened with DeMar Hamlin, like, be generous, you know, like, be positive, be a good person. I was in a very close matchup in a championship game and in a league that I don't commish. And the guy had an undefeated season. So I could have ruined his season and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was like, we were projected to be within like a point or two of each other. And I just said, man, I don't want to ruin your perfect season like this. So I let him have the championship. I did split the pot with him, though. I said, okay, you take the ship. I'm splitting the pot, though. I want at least half of that money.
16-1. 16-0-1. Sorry. Like, make it a tie.
Right. No, I was like, man, you know, that's so amazing. Like, it's not an easy league. It's not like some BS league where, like, you know, no one's playing for anything. Like, everyone's active. Everyone's good. And for anyone to be in that kind of league and have an undefeated season, I didn't want to take that away from him. You know?
Oh, see, I absolutely would want to take that away. Just like,
oh, I wanted to beat him, but I didn't want to take it away from him
that way. One other thing I want to throw there, because I have seen it mentioned on Twitter too, and we're actually doing this in one league that I don't commish, but I was in the title game. It's actually a redraft league, but I was up like 53.5. I had nobody. He had Chase. Burrow, and we actually have head coaches in this league, and he had Zach Taylor. You can't get like a max more than like 10 points with a coach, but anyway, it was definitely an up in the air type game, and we agreed to split the pot, and we are using their, assuming they play, because I'm not sure what the Bengals situation is in terms of starters sitting or not next week, but assuming they play, we're using the points next week to determine who won the game, you know, who won the title, but we're splitting the pot. Which I think that's kind of a fair way to do it. If you want to crown an actual champ, just in those gray area games, split the money. But if you want to crown a champ, you could use next week's points. I don't hate that. I'm not that concerned about that. Yeah. If I don't get it because of that, I'm fine either way if I'm getting my money.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, again, it's, you know, one of those times where it's just like, whatever. Yeah. Okay, well... Yeah, okay, you know what? We're doing listener questions. Let's just keep going with them because they're mostly just making fun of John, and that's what I'm all about at this point. First question we have, at Daddy's Home FF, if John could only pick one Dave to have in the happy hour chat, which two would he kick out, assuming he was still admin, which he's not because he sucks?
All right, so real quick, I created the group chat for our happy hour crew. You know, there's like 30 of us in there. We all get together on Friday nights and do all that. One time as a joke, I left the chat just to like, somebody said something stupid and I'm like, oh, I'm out of here. You know, this is a joke. And I left. I'm not even thinking about the fact that when I came back, I was no longer going to be admin. So now it's this whole thing where they completely hold it over me that I'm not admin in the chat that I created and that I don't have any of the power in the chat and all that kind of stuff. So that's where that whole thing is coming from. But it's a trick question anyway, because Mike knows I'm not getting rid of any of those Daves. Mike has to, you know, he's got to go. It's 100%. Like, Mike's gone. Sorry.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. I love the guy, but if I had to choose, you know.
I love that he didn't pull anything. He's like, oh, no, I have an answer. That's fine.
Exactly. That's not my style.
Yeah. All right. The next one is at T King Mode. Why does John have Malik Willis ranked as his QB1 in Dynasty? And there's a blue check mark after this man's name. So clearly he is not lying. And Malik Willis is your QB1.
100%.
It's 100%. I definitely did not do a Malik Willis grudge match in the offseason where I went head to head with an analyst that was all about Malik Willis 101 and all that. And I said how it was like the dumbest thing you could ever do. I definitely didn't do any of that. I mean, like you said, Troy King has a check mark. So yeah. You got to believe him over me. So unfortunately,
absolutely. People with check
Malik
marks
Willis, QB1, you know.
Yeah. To be fair, it's not wrong yet. You don't know.
It's true. You know, here, I'm going to be feeling good, baby. Woo. I know he just got benched for Josh Dobbs, but you know.
it's the slow con. They're waiting until next season.
It is. They just don't want people to know. They don't want people to have tape. No, that's all it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's more important they keep the greatness of Malik Willis secret than get into the playoffs. So.
Absolutely. Really
It's very true. And as a Titans fan, it definitely does not hurt me to my core how bad Malik Willis is. No, yeah, it doesn't.
At all. It doesn't. At all, because he's great.
Perfect.
The last question we have is at MG_Dynasty. I'd like you to ask Coach A how he manages to get by living out of a minivan and if watching football strictly on McDonald's Wi-Fi ever gets old.
All right. First of all, I saw this question in the show sheet and like, is he trying to say that this is a bad thing? Like I sit in the little spot, number four, I'm always in number four and I just order on my phone and the girls bring the food out to me and I'm connected to their Wi-Fi. I can watch the games on my phone. Like, is this some like kind of bad lifestyle? I mean,
are you kidding? It's getting to eat McDonald's and watch football by yourself? That sounds glorious.
It does.
I'm telling you, every once in a while, I do have to leave my spot and, you know, it's risky because somebody could take it because I always want number four, but I have to leave because I have to go to the drive up trash can, you know, because it starts getting a little full after a while. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, you know, I rush back around and get to number four again.
So getting out of the car, out of the question, and leaving your car there.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, you have plenty of cups and everything. You know, you can do everything you need. No reason to leave. Yeah.
No more questions about that. All right. So that was the end of our listener questions. Let's move on to our Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception. And 0.05 points for return yardage for all of them except for TA1. And we're back to having a couple of TA1 trades every once in a while. The first, well, no, this is the only one for this trade, this show. Nice words. Geno Smith and Brian Robinson for Derek Carr, a late second and a third. Now, before we actually get to this trade, it's really funny because Kenny DM'd me and he's just like, all right, so I feel like I'm wrong about Derek Carr's value. Like, tell me what it's supposed to be. And I'm just like, I mean, does he have value at the moment? Like, until recently, I've just been like, well, he's playing well enough and they just brought over Adams that they're going to restructure his contract so he doesn't have that big of a cap hit and all that stuff. And then he got benched and Jarrett Stidham didn't look awful. And I'm not going to say they're going into next season with Jarrett Stidham as their quarterback, but I kind of feel like this shows that they might not be going – they're most likely not going into next season with Derek Carr as their quarterback.
Yeah, I think sitting him alone showed that they weren't going into next season with
that's more or less what I was getting at. So I was just like, I'm not sure Carr has super much value. Like, don't get me wrong. He's going to start somewhere. He has shown that he is good enough to – not even be a bridge, but like to get a job a la Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz and, you know, Baker, Sam Darnold, like go and be the starter somewhere for a year or two while the team figures out what the heck they're doing.
Next like, Colts quarterback.
Yes. 1,000%. Yes. So I do think he gets a job, but I mean, let's face it. if I have the opportunity to say, well, dude doesn't have a job right now, why am I going to pay anything for him? I'm going to use that excuse, even knowing that he probably will have one. So I'm like, nah, I think you're thinking way too highly of this. I think you need to face reality. And he's like, all right, crap, you're right. And I have to be honest, Derek Carr and a late second and third for Geno and Brian Robinson, I think I want Geno and Brian Robinson pretty easily. Because I do think Geno is the quarterback there next season. Because at the at this moment, the Seahawks have enough issues where probably taking a QB at two might not solve everything. Though I would love not Geno Smith and throwing to DK Metcalf, because that would just make DK Metcalf better. But like, I do think Geno Smith is there going forward, and Brian Robinson is good enough that he's going to keep that committee going. Like, he's going to still have that job next year, the same job he has right now. We're not going to do this. He's going to be the guy next year thing with Brian Robinson. Don't think anyone is there for that. So Geno Smith over Derek Carr, Brian Robinson, late second and a third, sure. You know, to me, this is an even enough trade, but I would rather take the guys I feel safe are going to be where they are and do well enough there.
Yeah, I honestly think that, you know, people will say, oh, well, the Seahawks have multiple picks and all that kind of stuff. They can go get a QB. And I guess technically they can, but, you know, you hear that about every single team, every single bad team, Houston, Carolina, you know, like, it doesn't matter who it is, Seattle, all these teams. Oh, they're going to go get a QB. There's only two good QBs in this draft class. Like, that's it. People like to, you know, like, boost up these other QBs, but they're just not that good. And I mean, that if anything, it's going to take a year or two. So point of the story is, I think Geno Smith is going to be in Seattle. I think he's going to be, you know, the QB there. And, you know, probably Derek Carr is probably going to be a QB somewhere as well. Like, he could go to the Jets, somebody mentioned on, like, a podcast I listened to.
That actually makes a lot of sense. I never really thought of that, but yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. There's so many bad QBs. Look at it. Right now, there's so many bad QBs in the league that are starting because there's no one else. We actually had, I think there were 64 QBs that started this season. It was the most since 2007. And, like, the most, or, you know, beyond that, it was like the second time since like 1953 that that many QBs started in the season. There's only 32 teams, if you don't remember. So, you know, I think that both of them will have it, but give me Geno. Like, he's going to be in the same, you know, the same team, the same scheme, the same, all that kind of stuff. We have no idea where Derek Carr is going to be. And I mean, we like to assume that he's going to be a starter. We cannot guarantee he's going to be a starter anywhere. So, and then you could probably get a late second or close ish for Brian Robinson. So, I mean, you can always sell him or do something with them. Maybe like during the draft, or closer to your rookie draft, maybe try to sell him or piece to a pick in Brian Robinson and go get something else, like that kind of thing. So I don't love Brian Robinson, but I'll take the better QB, and then, you know, like, maybe I can do something with him later.
Yeah, and just to correct the wrongness I said before, the Seahawks now have the third pick because Denver did a little too well and Chicago did a little too worse, which means since Chicago don't need a quarterback, they are hopefully going to just get a haul for someone that wants to trade up for Stroud or Young, in which case the Seahawks, if they wanted to, would have to use their extra picks to move up one spot to go. And like I said before, quarterback is the most important thing. And in the NFL, there aren't that many great quarterbacks that come around. So if they do think one of these guys is great, yeah, you spend that, but they have enough holes that they shouldn't. So who the hell knows? Did you talk yet, Rocky?
I didn't. I was just going to basically agree with you too. I was just going to add that, I agree. Derek Carr's a starter next year, but like we said, Geno is too. And I don't know that Carr's definitely a starter beyond next year, depending where he goes, depending on how he performs. I don't think he's getting some massive contract. It could be like, you know, a 2-year, 3-year deal that they can get out after 1 year. Or something like that is what I expect. Like I said, if he goes to the Colts, they're just going to rotate to the next old guy the following year. So I don't think either of these guys is guaranteed more than 1 year. I think they both are getting one more year. And Brian Robinson, I'm not a huge Brian Robinson fan either, but I'd easily give up a late second and third for him. He's late seconds and even late seconds are not very high hit rates. So you're not, I don't think you're giving up much there. And Robinson, you know, he's had some nice games. So I kind of would be pretty happy with getting Brian Robinson for that. And I would rather, I think I'd rather have Geno over. I mean, who's been better this year, Geno or Derek Carr? So, and like you said, he'll be in the same system and Derek Carr won't. So yeah, I would take that side pretty easily.
So besides missing doing the DAP network, if you will, and we will, you know what else I missed last week?
What is it? Oh, I know what it was.
Sleeper, trade of the week. Sleeper, trade of the week. We're going to talk about a Trade Addicts trade, and it's sponsored by the Sleeper app.
Yeah, missed that. All right, so the Sleeper trade of the week is Trade Addicts 2 and that jerk Brian Haar. Again, at least it was by more than a point. Like, you know, I can say I lost this game. So Brian traded away what turned out to be the 110 and a 24 first for Travis Etienne and a 24 second. And of course, Travis Etienne, who hasn't scored like more than 10 points in a game in the past four games, scores more than 10 points on one play. But Rocky, in general, 110 and a 24 first. So you're talking two firsts for Travis Etienne and a 24 second. How do you feel about it?
I think it's probably fair. We all know I'm not the biggest Travis Etienne. I was not the biggest Travis Etienne fan coming into the league, but I you know, I'm not a guy who has take lock. I also wasn't the biggest DK Metcalf fan coming into the league, and I get to be an idiot not to turn around at some point on DK Metcalf, and I'm sort of getting there on Etienne. I don't love giving up two firsts, but one of them's late. You're getting the second back, and he's definitely shown more than I expected to, especially running the ball. I think a lot of people thought he'd be good catching the ball out of the backfield, but he's shown me a little more in the run game than I expected from him. I thought he had vision issues in college, but he's been doing fairly well. And I think this is what you have to pay to get him. I mean, a late first and a future first, and you're getting a second back. I think it's fair value. I don't know that I'd want to give it up, but I think if I'm evaluating this trade, the ETN side is the higher value side.
Yeah, I think it's extremely fair. I also think that it's something that you would do, you know, when you're trying to compete for a ship or a third place, like trying to win some money, like that kind of thing. I don't know that I would want to do it right now, just because I know like there's so many good running backs in this draft class that like at 110, you're probably going to get a pretty solid running back. And then you're, you know, keeping that 24 first. So I don't know if I'd want to pay it, but that is definitely his price. Like you're going to have to pay that in order to get it done. So it's fair as can be. You know, honestly, like ETN in the second might be the better side of the trade, but I do a Devy pod. Like I fall in love with these prospects and everything. Like I believe in my heart that I can draft a very good player at 110 and still keep that 24 first. And so like that part of me is like, no, don't do it.
See, I have no idea what 24 second this is, but it was Brian's 24 first. And assuming whatever Brian's team is doesn't completely collapse, you hope it's at least a later end first, which means there's a chance it's just a couple of picks. You know, so that is why I would probably be okay with this. You know,
and Etienne himself, I mean, is a guy he's going to have for multiple, you know, years.
Yeah.
A second year guy, I mean.
Yeah. You know, young running back, offense that still seems to hit its bumps like it did this past week. And Trevor Lawrence only giving me like 4 points. But that offense is getting better. They're getting stud wide receiver Calvin Ridley next season. And, you know, so I do think it's a safe move, because I don't think even with the inflow of rookie running backs, you are going to have a problem moving Travis Etienne tomorrow if you wanted to. So I agree. This is one of those moves where it's just, this is my answer for, well, people are just going to sell out for the future to go and try and win. No, really good trades happen right yes. before. And of course, this was like right before the championship game where I saw it and I'm like, MF-er, like really, Brian?
And and to your point, like, he could do this, get the points from ETN this week, and then immediately turn around and flip them and get pretty much the same value back. As like, especially right. if it's someone like you who doesn't like having running backs, yeah. You can just trade that and then trade for another running back 10 months from now when he needs one again or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking that the 110 was his, but now you're saying he won the championship with
oh,
it.
Oh yeah. No, it was just another first he had. I don't know if he still yeah, has.
I don't know why I was thinking that somebody would have their own pick in a trade axe league. So that was completely on me, but yeah, if he won a ship with it, then obviously it's an easy Travis Etienne smash yeah, in the context of the trade, but you know,
clearly you don't know when making the trade, but yes, winning is always worth it anyway. And it's definitely worth making a fair trade.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and that is your trade of the week, brought to you by Sleeper Fantasy, the fastest growing fantasy football platform in the world. Join a new dynasty league or migrate yours to the platform and enjoy how easy they make it to manage all your leagues in one place. Join millions of players today on Sleeper, the number one fantasy football platform. Download the app today to get started. Next trade we have is still THU, and this was me. I traded away, this was before the games, Terry McLaurin for Keenan Allen and a late second. I got to be honest, I'm sitting here just thinking they'll probably score pretty similarly. Keenan Allen's been doing pretty well even when the Chargers offense doesn't do well. And I can get a second? Yeah.
That's where I'm at. With like, I want the Keenan. You're basically paying for a couple extra years, I guess, with Terry McLaurin. I think the way this week, I mean, obviously they didn't know this when they made the trade, but the way this week panned out, neither one of them did a whole bunch for you.
Yeah.
But I think Keenan Allen actually did score more even this week, and you're getting the second on top of it. I'm fine. And again, Terry McLaurin is not young. You know, I still think people think he's not as old as he is. He's like 27-ish.
Yeah.
So he's only a few years younger than Allen. And especially, you know, I assume this was made before this week. I would definitely take those points in the second over McLaurin's couple extra years.
Yeah, it's really tough, man, because like that injury at the beginning of the season was scary as hell with Allen. You know, like dude could not get back on the field, went out and did like one play week three. And then, you know, I'm like, is this guy just done? You know, so like that kind of stuff is scary, and that's what you have to deal with. You have to deal with that kind of stress with a 30-year-old wide receiver, which is probably why this trade happened. So I get both sides, but going back to the whole like Debbie thing and rookies and all that kind of good stuff, I really think that there's going to be some quality players that fall to that late second this year. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, seconds are worthless and all that kind of stuff. Man, I don't see it at the very least this season, but really most seasons. I just don't see it that way. And so if I can get similar players, yes, there's an age discrepancy and all that kind of stuff, and get the second there, I think I'd go ahead and lean Keenan there as well.
I like when everyone chooses my sides of the trade. Not going to lie, makes me kind of happy. We push forward to Trade Addicts 5, where Deonta Foreman and Travis Kelce were traded for Sky Moore, Darren Waller, and a late first. Now, I really wish I looked into the context of this trade, because if you're trading away Travis Kelce, you don't really expect to see Darren Waller on the other side. You know, that was pretty weird, and I kind of don't want to look into it now because it kind of just makes it more fun that way. But if this is me, I want Travis Kelce without even really thinking about it. I mean, I know Kelce only put up like 12, 15 points this week and didn't win you the championship like we hoped he would, but he still destroyed every other tight end like by miles. So, and there's zero reason for that to change. And man, my voice cracking is just so bad. Like zero reason. So I get it. A late first is cool. Like you keep saying, there will be talent back there. And I liked Sky Moore coming in. I was sad when he went to KC, but like Sky Moore was a late first, and that isn't going great so far. So, or it can be Justin Jefferson, who the heck knows, but Like, if this is me, especially in a league where we have the 0.75, I just want Kelce, and I don't need to think about that much.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it's not like Travis Kelce's gonna fall off the face of the earth in the next year. Even if he's not the tight end one again next year, he's still gonna be the tight end three or the tight end four, worst case scenario. Yeah. So. And everything other than the late first, everything, you know, I'm with you. I receivers that don't really do anything their first year scare the hell out of me. They generally don't succeed. So Sky Moore doesn't hold a lot of value in this trade for me, even though it's a youthful piece. And like you said, Darren Waller has like zero trade value. So, if I can give up a late first essentially and some other stuff for Kelce and Foreman as well. I forget if he even had a decent week this week, but I know he was coming off a good week. So
yeah,
it's a nice little throw in piece too. It's a pretty easy call for me to give that up for Kelce if I was in the title game this week.
Yeah, for me, it's value wise, I think it's fine. If you really think that Darren Waller was injured all year long, he's going to have probably a new QB, you know, all that kind of stuff. He could very well bounce right back to being the tight end four, that kind of thing. And then you're going to say, oh, well, this isn't that bad, you know, tight end four and late first. But Travis Kelce is a guy that's going to be on my team until he retires. And so if I have the opportunity to get him, or, you know, if I have him on my team already, I'm not trading him away. It just, I had a lot of people, I was in the league and I just, my team completely fell apart and people started sending me offers for Kelce. Kelce, and I could not do it, man. And there were some decent offers. I could not do it. And dude's 34 years old. I still couldn't do it.
Yeah, I haven't seen an offer. Like, I literally don't remember an offer coming in for Travis Kelce. Or, like, I remember at the beginning of the season, I was blowing up my TA4 team, or this even may have been at the end of last season, and I had Kelce on my team, and I literally could not get a trade I thought was good, and I ended up just accepting something, and it made me super, super sad. But you know, I also just don't have any patience, so I did it anyway. But like, I literally just, I don't remember ever receiving a good offer for Travis Kelce. sad. All right, so the last trade we have is from Trade Addicts 10, and this one again was super interesting to me, and I believe this was a you trade, Rocky.
It was me.
So we're going to let John go first on this one. Jonathan Taylor for Austin Eckler and a late second.
I mean, honestly, it's weird because I'm kind of lower on both players here than most people. And so it's weird, like, being in this position. But, you know, when you think of the age discrepancy and all that kind of stuff, you want to lean towards Jonathan Taylor. But, man, the Colts' whole situation is just disgusting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is it going to change? I mean, is it going to change anytime soon? I just don't know. It's one of those things where, like I said, there's only so many QBs in the draft. There's only so many QBs in the league. Who the hell is going to be their QB next year? Who the hell is going to be their coach next year? So, like, I honestly, you know, you see Jonathan Taylor, you see Austin Eckler, you kind of just go, oh, it's going to be Jonathan Taylor. But I'm kind of talking myself into the Eckler side here. I feel like maybe if it was an early second or maybe even a mid second, I think I would definitely go with the Eckler side. But just for the age discrepancy, like, you can see how much I'm waffling here, but like, just because of the age difference, I'm going to go ahead and go with Taylor there.
Yeah. And I mean, I have long been pretty outspoken about being unhappy with Jonathan Taylor's value, but honestly, this isn't bad for Jonathan, like for a running back that isn't prime Kamara, Christian McCaffrey. Like, this is pretty good for just a good running back. And my only issue is everything John just said. Jonathan Taylor only seems to do well when that Colts offense is clicking. When that offense is doing well, Jonathan Taylor has the ability to do very, very well. But when that offense has the slightest glitch, we're talking single-digit points. We're talking no touchdowns, no receptions, just gross for fantasy football. But I feel like if I was either knocked out of the playoffs, didn't make the playoffs, and I had Eckler on my team, I think I would send this to go get Jonathan Taylor. My hopes would probably be to move Taylor before the season started. which thankfully is a very long time from now. But, you know, I think that would be like, it's weird. Like, I didn't expect when I first saw this, I'm like, oh yeah, anything to get out of Jonathan Taylor. Cool. And especially if you're still competing to get those points in the championship, no less. Yeah. And this absolutely is context matters, you know, which side of this you really take. Value wise, I think it's Jonathan Taylor, just because, I mean, Eckler's what, 31 already? The Chargers are a very good team, which means they're getting close to being able to use leisure picks, which means a year that has a lot of good running backs in the draft, it might be the year they spend a second round pick on a running back. You know, it might be the time where they're not going to get rid of Eckler. I mean, I don't know what his contract is, so maybe they do. But, like, assuming he's still under contract and still all of that stuff, he could be relegated to a receiving back or, like, a third down back, which honestly has place in fantasy football. In a 12-team league where you start 10 players, you'll still want to start the receiving back for the Chargers. I don't think that just completely destroys his value. But when compared to only a second between him and Jonathan Taylor – yeah, that's a little worrisome. So I get this on every side. And weirdly, it's a trade for Jonathan Taylor that I kind of feel good with. So, Rock, which were you and how do you feel about it?
Yeah, that's where I was at. I traded for Jonathan Taylor. I was in the playoffs in TA10, knocked out in the first round, traded Eckler to the guy who was in one of the guys that was in the championship game. And I actually sent Eckler for Taylor straight up, hoping to capitalize on, you know, wanting points at this point in the season in the title game. And he countered with this, and that it seemed fair to me. Like you said, I expect a little bit of a value bump for Taylor in the off season, the non-point scoring season, just because we maybe we'll forget a little bit how up and down he was points wise and the injury and all that. And he's still a young running back, and we still remember a couple years ago when he was dominant. So, I may keep him on my roster. I mean, I think he's still only 23, 24. So, I like getting the years back. Again, I know what John was saying about seconds earlier, but a late second tends to mean less to me than a mid to early second, kind of exactly like you were saying, John. Yeah. That it made it pretty easy for me when he counted this, and I'm like, yeah, I said straight up, a late second isn't enough to move me off that. And I think the value was on the Taylor side. So Eckler's still going to be fine next year, I guess. I don't expect him to be RB1 again next year. So I'll take the 5-6 years I'm getting back and possibly not have, like you said, not even have Taylor on my roster coming into September. I don't know.
To Russ's point, though, he was saying how, like, this might be the year where they take a guy in the second, take a running back in the second. The thing is, there's so many good running backs in this class, they don't have to take a guy in the second. They could take a guy in the third, fourth round pick, and instead of it being Isaiah Spiller, who is not good, it could actually be a good running back this year, and you know, maybe he'll actually be able to get onto the field. So, you know, I don't think that a running back's just going to completely take over. I don't think Austin Eckler is going to completely go away or anything like that. But when you start thinking about it that way, and then also to both of your points, like, this is another reason why trade deadlines are a bad thing, because this is another good trade for a team that came, you know, fell out of the playoffs. Like, no one got screwed here.
And I think it's guaranteed they're going to take it. Don't they do take a running back every year at this point? Isaiah Spiller, probably, Josh Kelly, yeah. Larry Roundtree. It seems Jackson, like every year. Yeah.
Before that.
It seems like every year they're taking somebody. So they're probably going to try again to fill that complement to Eckler role that can maybe take more of the rushing work. And we'll maybe this time it'll actually stick.
Yeah, but I mean, John really made the great point that I was waiting to grandstand about. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trades that we talked about, and there were a bunch of smaller ones that just didn't seem worth it, you know, thirds for this guy or whatever. Yeah. None of these were terrible trades. None of these were bad trades. None of these ruined the league. None of these decided any of the games.
The guy who traded for Eckler. Eckler had a great game, and he lost.
Yeah, and... yeah, ETN did really well. I did not lose by ETN's points. I lost by a whole lot more than that. So even if he didn't make the trade, he still would have won. So yeah, you take that, Brian, losing those firsts, and you didn't even have to. Moral victory. That was me pounding my chest, and it really hurt, and I shouldn't have done that. So again, you know, we're not, it's clearly no reason to go into the argument right now, but trade deadlines are stupid, but yeah, play whatever, if that makes you happy.
And these trades are the perfect example of why I converted. We've talked about before how, when I first started on this show, I was still kind of an anti, no trade deadline guy, but yeah, I've totally done a 180. It's stupid.
I think it takes one season of not being in a trade deadline for you to realize that it's a terrible thing to have.
And it's really funny because, yeah, we've had trades to talk about every single week on this show throughout the playoffs, but there were still weeks that went by, probably leagues that didn't make a single trade in the playoffs, even though they could. Some teams are just happy with who they have. It's not like you have to. And even if the person you're playing against does, it doesn't mean you have to match their trades. Like, if that's a way, I mean, I do that because it's fun, you know, like I just remember in the first round, anytime someone I was playing against made a trade, I started screaming arms race in the chat and started throwing out offers to everyone just because it was fun. But it's not something you have to do. It's not something you have to fall into. And yet again, no trades that are even lopsided, no less league ruining or anything like that. So
yeah, and to your point, I had a league, non-trade addicts league, where I had one of those games that you could call despite what, you know, the game being canceled Monday, where I won by like 50 points, did not make a single trade the entire playoffs. And other people did. And it, you know, sometimes it works for you, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. So that's the end of our show sheet. But before we do end the show, I just want to ask you guys, what now? Technically, the season's over. We have champions in some of our leagues, regardless. What do you do let's stick to as a manager, not as a commissioner, because that's a different show altogether. But are you hanging your hat up for a while? Like, are you taking a week or two off? Are you going to be, because now we have our draft orders. We know every single pick. Is there anything you look to do now? Before maybe a few weeks when more information comes out, is there anything you do now that you feel would help anyone out there? Well, John, I want you to go first because you, as a Devy guy, you who knows these incoming players more, is there anything like, are there moves you make with draft picks that you think other people who may not know these players as well right now, you know, might not know to do? Is there anything that you're like trying to go and sneak out and do right now?
Getting late seconds and thirds cheaper than, you know, I would maybe think that they should be is obviously the goal. Because I do think there's going to be players. Last year, the draft was so straightforward. Like almost, yeah. If you could go to like 95 different people's websites or whatever, and they're all going to be pretty damn close. Just with
the top 12 were pretty much the top 12. Maybe in different order, but they were all there.
This year is going to be the complete opposite, I think. You know, you're going to have people that completely fall in love with Anthony Richardson and his athleticism and all that kind of stuff. And then you're going to have people like me that I'm like, he's essentially off my board. And no player's ever off my board, but he might as well be because somebody's always going to take him before.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. And so, you know, I think that because of that kind of stuff, whereas last year it was like, all right, well, if you don't have 110, you're not getting Sky Moore, like that kind of thing. I didn't want Sky Moore, but I'm just saying like that's how it was. Yeah. This year, you're not going to be able to say that. Like it's just going to be completely different. So I'm going to get, whether it's an early second, mid second, late second, you know, or even getting into the thirds, I'm trying to get those kind of picks because I do think that players are going to fall, at least in certain leagues, that maybe you wouldn't think are going to fall. Or, you know, even if you don't know the players right now, because obviously I can list off 50 names that, you know, like maybe you would want, you know, even if you don't know the names, you'll know them by then, or you can listen to the right people that do know them and all that kind of stuff. But that would be my goal. The only thing is, you know, 99% of people are just hoarding their picks at this point. And, you know, like it's very difficult to get. So you really do have to be, I think the one for one trades don't work. This is where you really have to like be strategic and try to do, you know, a 2-for-1 special, like that kind of stuff, and make someone really think you are giving them value. Like, well, this idiot's giving me, you know, Austin Eckler in a second for Jonathan Taylor, like that kind of thing. You have to make people really, really think it through. And, you know, like, not that you're tricking them, but, you know, you have to make it even for them. So, like, I guess it's more difficult. You probably have to make more even trades right now, like that kind of thing. But it's even right now. Once the draft happens and all that kind of stuff, you know, the value is probably going to go up right then. But then when you get that player that fell, you're going to be like, oh, man, I so won this trade.
Yeah. Early seconds, ever since the 2020 draft and being able to get all them T. Higgins and Michael Pittman at the 201, 202 in drafts that are considered a little deeper up top, going for those early seconds are absolutely one of my favorite moves. But one of my, I think what I'm going to do now is kind of something I learned from the other, man, this is really hard to think of how to explain this. I have a couple of leagues where I have, screw it, let's be super specific. In Trade Addicts 1, I have the 102 and the 103. Right now, common consensus, there you go, there's a word, is Bijan and then Stroud or Young next. I don't know what order, whatever. Running back, two quarterbacks. So I was trying to drop. I mean, I was trying to drop out of the 103, and no one seemed to really understand what I was trying to do. They're like, it's only, you know, I'm trying to trade back to like the 106. They're like, that's 3 or 4 picks. Why are you asking for so much? I'm not going to pay that much to move up 3 picks. And I'm like, right, I'm a bit of a degenerate. Maybe they don't even really know these players yet. In which case, I'll let you pimp out your show in a minute, John. Like, go listen to these Devy shows. Go find these people talking about these incoming rookies. Find out where they have their tiers and use that to your advantage. Go grab the 103. Go grab the, I mean, to me, like the 106-ish is like the bottom of that. We'll call it a second tier because Bijan's a tier by himself. You know, go and try and find where, maybe not you, because you have no idea who you're talking about, but go and find those people that you trust and, you know, to know these rookies and find out where those are and make those moves now, because things are going to change. You know, we still have, what, like 2 weeks before declare deadline, and the draft is going to change things and the combine is going to change things, but usually change drastically from right now to the point where maybe there's a spot or two added or taken away from a tier. But if I can go right now and move up from the 106 to the 103 at a somewhat cheap price, considering what right now I feel that's going to be, I think I'm just going to go do that. You know, so if you find yourself in like the situation of needing a quarterback and you're sitting at the 105, see if you can get away with throwing a second in and being able to move up those two spots, because that person might not know that Bijan two quarterbacks, and that's most likely what those first three picks are going to be. So, like, that's my move right now. I am, well, again, this year is more complicated than it's been before, but, you know, I'm going to start going through my leagues and, you know, posting the draft order on the message board and all of that stuff, and that's when I'm going to, you know, hit that post button on the message board and be like, okay, what do I have? What can I do? Unfortunately, most leagues, I don't have any first, so there's not much I can do. But, you know, in those leagues where I'm rebuilding and I have a bunch, I'm going to try and move around. I'm going to see, like, crap, that's like the 109. All right, cool. That's in a little bit of a, like you said before, John, like, you have no idea what the heck's going to be there. So let me just see if I can get a player, like, can I turn that, you know, add a little bit to go get me a Devonta Smith, to go get me like some random other guy I really, really like that someone may not have, you know, all that higher, because all they know is 2023 picks are worth a whole lot, you know, but they don't know where players should really land. See what you can get away with. See what you can do to either A, add value to your team, which is always the goal in the non-point scoring season, or just to make you feel better about what you're looking at when you look at your roster. I think that's my next move. Rock?
Yeah, I was going to actually say that I don't tend to do a lot, at least the next few weeks. I tend to just sort of wind down. People don't really have rookie fever yet, but you kind of showed the kind of way you can take advantage of that is that the people don't know the rookies yet. So I do think it's a good idea. The problem is I play with a lot of these degenerates,
yeah,
me specifically, so they do know. But there's definitely, you know, the people listening, there's definitely many leagues out there where you can kind of do that. But yeah, I mean, the next few weeks I kind of wind down. Then probably by the end of January, I start trying to dive into the rookies. We've talked about before, the last couple of years, I've actually started to try getting eyes on guys and making my own evaluations and stuff like that. And then I do what you do and kind of augment it with Kane and Zach Reed and those kind of guys, John, what they're saying about the rookies and kind of meld it all with my opinion. But I really don't get into that until the end of January. So here I kind of wind down. People send me stuff. I'm in enough leagues that I will get offers in January from somebody.
Oh yeah.
So I'll play around with things, and I don't actually hate the idea because I'm less ageist than most players. I mean, you'll be able to get some of these old guys super cheap too. I mean, talked about like Kelsey's value is going to plummet, you know, now that he's not scoring points. So that's a guy you can probably get cheap. And it's like we said, going to be the tight end 2, 3, 4 next year, despite the fact that he's like 34 years old. Or obviously some of the older running backs. I mean, I'm not really interested in that 2017 class mostly of running back, but even like a Christian McCaffrey, his value is going to go down. He's going to be 26 and he's not scoring points for anybody anymore. And people are going to want to get out of him, and you're going to be able to get him a lot cheaper than you were able to get him like 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to kind of just grab points early in the off season, I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea if you want to go that way. I know it's not the pretty roster dynasty value way to go about things. But assuming Chris, like I said, someone like Christian McCaffrey or Travis Kelce doesn't tear an ACL in the offseason or something. Yes, I said it, Russ. I'm sorry. assuming something like that doesn't happen, you could make out pretty well on a trade for them in January, February. So that's the time when everybody else is getting ready to kind of like get rid of those players.
I just wanted to point out that, you know, now that you're looking for a co-host, Russ, you know, like I'm perfectly willing and able at least to fill in for a little while, you know, or whatever you want, you know, like I'm perfectly fine with all that. But then I think Rocky made a really good point with like these older running backs. Like there's going to be a mass exodus. Like teams just want to get them off of their team. Like these players want to get them off their team. And so you're going to see that the entire offseason. And I'm not saying to send picks for them now because you want to wait for all that value to accrue and all that kind of stuff. But if you're on the clock and you have some of these mid to late seconds, and then, you know, someone doesn't fall to you, that's when you go, okay, well, I have a late second. This guy, you know, loves this player, and, you know, he has Dalvin Cook or whatever it is. And you might be able to get
like Dalvin Cook. You can probably get for a second.
Yeah, a second and a third or whatever. And he's not going to just be gone next year. He's going to still be putting up points for your team and all that kind of stuff. That's when you want to take advantage of those values. And as far as the tiers, I think, if you want, you know, like right now, obviously everything's not set in stone, but at least in my personal opinion, if you have 105 or better, you are in a very, very great position.
Yes.
But like I said, there's going to be, because at least in my opinion, the 105, 101 through 105 should be Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, and then JSN.
Yep.
So that's going to be pretty consensus, but you're going to have people throwing Quentin Johnston up there. You're going to have people throwing Zach Evans up there, you know, Anthony Richardson, like I said, Will Levis, like there's going to be people throwing these other QBs up there. And now next thing you know, JSN might fall to a 106. And then you're like, well, hey, you know, I can do that. So, I mean, if you want to be a little riskier with it, you can even try to get to like a 106, 107 and just really hope and pray that maybe one of these guys somehow falls. Like I did this past year with Garrett Wilson. Somehow I got Garrett Wilson at like 108 in a league. Oof. And I'm like, how the hell did this happen? Complete luck. I mean, it definitely should not have happened, but it did. And I was very happy about it.
A very specific question, John, since you're here, because it's for a guy on one of my Debbie teams. But you didn't mention him. And then since we haven't run super long anyway, where are you at on Jordan Addison?
That's honestly, I really like, that was what was sticking out of my head, that you didn't even name Jordan Addison. And for a while, he was people's wide receiver one.
he dealt with injuries. So, you know, like, I think that's what is kind of like, like, really a lot of the top receivers dealt with injuries. Jordan Addison, Josh Downs, JSN missed the entire season. And so now people are like, oh, well, you know, JSN was considered a god before, but then he missed the entire season. And so now people are like starting to, you know, doubt him and question him and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you look at what he did, look at how good Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave are in the NFL. He was better than them last year, mm-hmm. you know, on the same team. So, like, don't sleep on JSN. But then Jordan Addison, I would say the same thing. Don't sleep on him at all. I love me some Jordan Addison. I did have him above JSN for at least a little bit just because he was blowing up at USC. Yeah. Then the injuries started piling up, and, you know, like, he didn't have the second half of the season that I would have liked to have seen. The injuries did kind of pile up, but you have a Biletnikoff winner, which means he was the best wide receiver, you know, in the game last year. And then this year he put up really good numbers, at least very similar numbers to what he did before. I love me some JSN or Jordan Addison. He's right behind JSN for me. But I would take JSN before him. But yeah, 106, 107. It's going to be really interesting because there's some really good running backs like a Zach Evans, a Sean Tucker, Blake Corum, like a lot of these guys that, you know, you might not even know just yet, but come combine season, Senior Bowl, like all that kind of stuff. You know, even names like Zach Charbonnet
not say the name Tank Bigsby.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing.
His name is Tank Bigsby.
I know, but that's why people like him is because his name is Tank Bigsby.
Do you know how many shares of Master Teague I had at last year's draft?
Just because his name was Master
Teague. Because his name was Master Teague.
And then now people are starting to fall in love with Israel Abanaconda. So, you know, start learning that name because it does not roll off the tongue the first time.
That is a fun name, though.
It is. There's so many good players, but don't sleep on Josh Downs either. I love me some Josh Downs, and a lot of people don't have him there in that same tier, but he's right there in that, like, Jordan Addison tier for me as well. And I know this is not a Devy show, so I don't want to talk about it too much.
Like, these are things people need to start learning, and you literally did just name like 15 names, by the way, and you're still like gushing. And what's funny is,
yeah, I love him.
I pulled up Twitter just to see if there's anything exciting that just happened in the last 3 seconds. And all I see is a video of Quentin Johnston just straight up mossing some dude in the end zone. And I'm just like, I like that guy now.
Oh, I mean, he's big and fast, and people love that. People fall in love with it. The problem is, I like him. I really do. But the problem is people are moving him to one ahead of Jordan Addison, ahead of JSN, and that's where I start falling out of love.
I've learned my lesson on that one. It'll be like a J.K. Dobbins thing for me where, like, I will admit that he is my favorite. But, like, okay, Jonathan Taylor is better. He can be the running back one, but I could still say Dobbins was my favorite. Like, that, I've learned to be able to do that, because when I don't, I end up drafting a lot of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside when I shouldn't.
Or Jalen Reagor. I made that mistake. Eagles fan.
honestly, like, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was the reason why I created my model and everything. Like, I was done missing on picks that badly. And I'm like, all right, I got to do something completely different. And that's when I started creating the analytical model and doing all that crap. And I mean, it's a completely different world now where I can actually make picks and have them be good rather than drafting J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
All right, but while you're at it, I'm ready to go to bed. So before we do that, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
All right. So I'm Dynasty Coach A on Twitter. I am the host of the Devy Devotional podcast and the Full Tilt Devy podcast. You can find me there. I'm also the host of the Monocle Dynasty podcast, but I have not done that in about a year, something like that. My wife bought a business. We became a lot busier after that, and that did not leave a lot of time when you have multiple pods and multiple leagues and all that kind of stuff. So unfortunately, I have not done that, but I probably will be doing that one during the non-point scoring.
Well, season. You need to do it so I can say I'm going to be on and then get a migraine and have to wait 2 weeks, like has happened for at least the past 2-3 years.
This is not a lie. I'm not trying to suck up or anything like that, but I honestly thought about like a month ago, I was like, I'm so mad at myself for not doing the Monocle anymore because I can't have the Trade Addicts boys on. Like I used to have you guys on like every, you know, 2 months or something like that. And it just really pissed me off. I mean, obviously there's other guests that I love as well, but I'm like, man, it was like clockwork. I mean, not really for you, Russ, but like, you know, for Rocky, at least, you know, it was like clockwork. You know, I would invite him and he would come on, and I would invite you and you would, you know, not come on for like two weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Look, I got to be a prima donna every once in a while. And I just kept doing it with John. She's like, no, I know I said yes, but I'm not going to do it. No, just call me back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You become the DLF podcaster director and do 20 podcasts and it goes to your head.
Yeah, it's what can I say? I'm just that good, but I'm going to be that good at going to bed because it is that time. Our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can watch us while we record, drop some stuff in the chat so we can talk about. Also, we have our awesome GroupMe chat, the Cool Kids Club. Be part of that. We still have ffpodshirts.storenv.com where we have all of our, I'm wearing SFB11 right now, but we still have all of our SFB12 stuff up. And every single penny goes to Toys for Tots. Clearly, this year is past, but we've already started for next year. Hug your family. Tell your friends and everyone that you love them. Don't feel weird telling other dudes you love them. It's not weird. Tell your friends you love them.
I love
both of you. So, and I love all of you out there that are even for some reason giving us the time of day to listen to this show. And on that note, it is bedtime. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. A member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.